I normally make little notes on my notes. To the point where today is, I don't know where my notes are. So I'm not quite sure where I might go, but I just want to be Spirit-led. So, yeah, just help me do that, Holy Spirit. Okay, in what we want to share this morning, I would like to put it under an umbrella of God opportunities for 2017. I think that would be the easiest thing to put on, because you're going to hear some things that could quite easily be taken as information. I don't want you to take that as information or dates or times. I want you to see it as God opportunities. And I'll explain that a bit more as we go along. I don't know if you remember, but last September, I shared about new wine skins. And I read from Mark 2:22, where Jesus says, "No one pours new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the wineskins will be ruined. No, he pours new wine into new wineskins." And that expression of wine is the intoxicating, and I think that's why. Wine is intoxicating. If you drink too much wine, you get intoxicated, do you not? So now I know who has drunk too much wine over Christmas. No, we're not gonna. But when you do, wine is intoxicating. The Spirit, the presence of God, is intoxicating. Now, there are dimensions to God. He is in everything. If you've given your life to Jesus, that intoxicating presence resides in you. That's hard to get our heads around, but that's truth. You have the presence, the intoxicating presence of the Spirit within you. So now, you've all come through that door. You're all together. There is a dimension of God's presence which doesn't happen when we're on our own. The anointing is magnified because the presence of God here is multiplied. Every single one of you has the presence of God within you. So the importance of coming together is magnified because the anointing, his presence, another dimension of him is in this room. Not only is he within us, but he's in the spaces as well. So we are heavily in the presence of the Father and the Holy Spirit. We're on a journey, and in that journey, God has been working in me, in you, and in us. And in doing that, our culture is changing. But it's a culture that requires a new wineskin. So our heart as a leadership team this morning is that you might be encouraged, that you would be stirred, that you would be envisioned through some of what this wineskin looks like in 2017. It's not defined yet. We're on a journey with Father, which I believe is only the beginning. So how exciting is that? When we hear the testimonies this morning, when we've seen what he has done with us in this last year, how exciting is that? That we wouldn't set any boundaries or borders, that we would just be open for him to shape us into this new wineskin. Wineskin. Just before I continue, I just want to say something else. The Holy Spirit challenged me some months ago, and he said, "Be and do." Isn't that good when God gives you such descriptive language that you know exactly what he's thought? I'm thinking, Lord, what do you mean, be and do? He said, be blessed and be a blessing. And I don't know when I got that. I don't know where that came from. But I thought, and I prayed, and I thought, yeah, that's my heart. I want to be blessed, but I want to be a blessing. And so some of you might know, so I've started signing that on some of my emails, because otherwise it's words. And I don't want it to be words. I want it to be a part of me. I want it to be something that I am, that I'm blessed, and that I am a blessing. Well, what do I mean by blessed? Well, the Greek for blessed means fully satisfied. So I want to be fully satisfied in anything that Father gives me. And I want to be fully satisfied in anything that Jesus draws me to. And in that being fully satisfied, I want to bless others with that. Now, it also when you look at it in the Greek, it means being fully satisfied in receiving God's favor regardless of the circumstance. So I want to live life being fully satisfied, not only with what Father shows me, not only with what Jesus draws me to, but being fully satisfied in every circumstance of life. That can be tough. But if we are growing in the Spirit in that, then we will be blessed. And we will be a blessing to others. So, I know some of you have prayed already. We're going to stop now and we're going to pray. Now, I want you to put the hand on the person next to you. So that at least everyone has got a hand on someone. I'll do a corporate hand. All right? It's going to be a simple prayer. Ask that person you've got the hand on, that Father would bless. That they would know and be fully satisfied in anything that God gives them, that anything Jesus draws to us, and that they may know the favor of the Lord in every circumstance of life, that it would be a blessing. Not the circumstance, but what Father does with them. Okay. Now you've prayed that. Now pray for them that not only would they be blessed, but they would be a blessing to others. Blessing to family here, blessing to their neighbors, their family, their community that they live in, so that his kingdom would be advanced. Amen.
Right. There were some core values which were taught and preached into in 2016, which that needs to become a part of us. And we're going to continue to speak into these areas in the coming year. But the two areas that I just wanted to quickly look at and remind ourselves of are the areas of identity and building relationship. You know, many of us at this time of year, we look back at the year that's just gone and we look at the things that we've achieved, and we look forward to the coming year, to the things that we want to do. And as Christians, we look and hopefully are looking to see what God's going to do in us. And one of the questions I want to ask us is the question to ask ourselves, in 2016, did we learn to care for our identity? We learn a lot about being saints and not sinners, sons and daughters and not slaves, what it is to be an adopted child and not an orphan. But actually, this could all be words if we don't understand what that actually means and how it applies to us and how we outwork that. And what we want to do is to get this as part of who we are. You know, when Jesus was here on earth, his assignment was to reveal the Father. And it says, as the Father has sent me, I send you. That's what it says in John. And Jesus passes on that part of his assignment to us. And that's what defines our purpose. So if you want to know what God wants for you for 2017, it's to reveal the Father. But that's why knowing our identity is just so important, because as orphans, you know, orphans live very, very differently from children who know that they are loved. You know, an orphan spirit often presents itself as self-preservation and self-promotion. But we have the privilege of knowing and continuing to know our wonderful Heavenly Father. You know, Juicy was so right when she said, you know, I know who I am. She knows who God has called her to be. And so when accusations come and criticism comes, you know, she knows who God has called her to be. Do you know who God has called you to be? Do you know your identity in Christ and how he sees you? So what I want to encourage us to do is to look to our Heavenly Father in 2017, to understand his nature. You know, there are lots of things we don't understand about God. There are lots of things we don't have the answers for, but the one thing that doesn't change is that we have a good, good Father. And just because we don't understand some of the things that happen to us doesn't mean that that has to become our theology or our wisdom. So I'm encouraging you, in 2017, let's press in. Let's deal with our orphan spirits. Because, you know, as we overcome these personal victories in our own lives, that's how we reveal the Father. That's how we can make him known. And we do this by not only outworking it in our own lives as individuals, but as we work it out as family, as we build the church. And so that's where not only our identity is important, but building relationships is important. You know, we have a structure, we have a building, but the structure must always serve the purpose. And the purpose is family. The organization serves the purpose. It's all about relationship, not what we agree over. And as Richard was just saying, the wineskin is one of covenant relationship, not agreement. You know, when you're in family, you're always encouraged to work out of a relationship. You're cheering on each other's achievements, your successes. With my children, if I saw a bad attitude or poor behaviour, I wanted to address that. That's what we should be doing as family, in church family. We want to move on. We want to grow. We want to mature. You know, God loves us too much to leave us as we are. And so in 2017, you know, not that we haven't done it before, but we're in a culture where we're learning to honour one another. And so that's going to work out of a covenant relationship. So when you're in a covenant, it means that we're going to agree to disagree without falling out. It means we're going to look out for each other's backs. And we're going to know the heart behind what is being said when the truth is being said, when something is being said about us. Go back to Juicy and her friend. Her friend knew her. He knew her heart. So he knew that whatever the accusations and the other things that were being said, he didn't jump on the bandwagon and believe what was being said. We've got to know the heart behind what is being said sometimes, because otherwise it's very easy to take offense. So our wineskin is one of covenant, not agreement. And the heart of covenant is commitment. So it's commitment to letting Jesus be the center of our lives. It's commitment to one another. It's commitment to fulfill the plans and purposes spoken over us. And it's commitment to be used by Father in bringing his kingdom in the communities we live and we work in. So we want to be a people who grow and mature in this coming year. I do. Do you? Yeah. So let's press on and press into knowing who God is and reveal the Father.
Staying with that context of building relationship, 2017 is again a time where we want to deepen our relationship with those that we're journeying with, our friends. Dave and Julie, Tony and Kay, Tony and Ursula, Pete and Kim Carter. These are all people that we're journeying with in learning and catching kingdom culture. Now, part of our journeying, part of our relationship, part of what Jacqueline was saying about covenant, part of our relationship with these guys is accountability. But actually, accountability is a part of our wineskin, it's a part of our DNA, it's a part of our culture that we want to encourage and we want to grow. And it's not something that we're thinking it's a good idea, it's what the Bible tells us to be. Firstly, that we are to be accountable ourselves. Romans 14:12. So then, Paul says, each of us shall give account of himself to God. But there is also a second element in accountability. In 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about when we come together that we are to be accountable with one another. We are all the same part of one body. Without you, there's a piece missing. That's how important you are within the body that's here. And each of us needs to know that we are a part of that body, that we belong to one another. The common factor is Jesus, and we highly value the price he paid for each one of us. So we highly value each other because of what Jesus has done. And you know, you're not here by accident. You're here because Jesus placed you here. That has high value. But what also 1 Corinthians 12 shows us is the importance of strong accountability between us. So therefore, as a team, firstly, we're looking to be accountable to Dave and Julie Connolly and to Tony and Kay Smith. Not only are we journeying with these other guys, but actually, as a leadership team, we're looking to be accountable, because everyone should be accountable to someone. Just because you lead a church doesn't mean you've made it, you take the ball. Just as you say, we've all got faults. We've all got things that we need, weaknesses. So we are looking to be accountable to them. So what does that mean? Well, it doesn't mean if you don't like the shirts I wear, you're going to phone up Dave and Julie or Tony and Kay, because you'd be on the phone all the time, I know. But if there are things that concern you, that you think, well, hang on, how does that tie up with that? God forbid that. So that means, there I'm back. If you feel there's a time when we're not holding to this, and you've come to us, or maybe you've come to directors, and you're still feeling, well, I'm not sure about this, you will have their numbers to phone. Because we want to be accountable in what we're doing. But we're all family together. And that accountability equally works this way. So when we're speaking into each other's lives, we're being accountable. But it should be done in a way that grows. And this is where our culture, where we're learning to honour those. So there may be times that we need to speak in each other's lives. But we should do it in a way that upbuilds and releases. Now, I'm sure you've had this happen to you. I've happened to me. I don't think I've had it happen here. But in my Christian walk, when somebody comes and says, in love, can I tell you this? And then you feel like you've been shot with a double-barrel shotgun. That isn't the talk. That isn't the type of culture where we're not looking to put each other right in that context. We're looking for the best in each other. So within this covenant of accountability, it is being sharing love and honour in a right way, but being accountable with one another. But actually, it's also about receiving that in a right way as well. Does that make sense? That, you know, our heart behind everything should be want to see the best in someone. So that is a culture that we are catching and learning to cultivate. Otherwise, it will be words. But actually, our heart is for each one of you to grow in 2017, to surpass anything. I'm always saying this, but I mean it. To surpass anything that God might be doing in my life so that you fulfill what God is doing in yours. And so God has put us together to help us with each other. And can I just reaffirm again, our relationship with these guys, anything that we go to, we are not trying to be like other places. I want to make that clear. Wherever we've been, wherever we will go, we're not trying to catch how they are or they do it. We are wanting to be all that God has called us to be in Ruji Community Church. But neither are we not denying that actually these people that we're connecting with, these places we go to, have something that we don't have. So we want to catch what God is doing, not what they're doing. We want to catch what God is, what we're seeing the fruit of God in, not what maybe their culture is. Now I will say this, they're not perfect. Now here comes the big one, neither are we. Tony Smith has an excellent analogy. He says, in a covenant relationship, there are some things you chew the meat and spit out the bone. Now, what does he mean by that? It means that actually we grow up as Christians. We're strong in our identity. We understand that we might not agree with what some of what they're doing. But actually, we don't focus on that. We say, well, what is it that they are doing that ties in with the word and ties in with the culture that we want to develop? Now, of course, if it's something that's not scriptural, we're not going to go there. But actually, to understand that, you've got to be grown up as a Christian. We've got to understand. Because the enemy will come and he'll try to offset anything. So we have to be wise. We have to be discerning. We have to be careful. But actually, we have to be big and grown up as Christians to say, actually, I don't agree with what they're doing with that. But actually, I'm not going to deny all of that. Because that would be to deny God. So does that sort of make sense? My wife's looking at me. Yes, no, that's all right. The oracle's nodding, so I'm okay. So, we're in covenant relationship. And those things that we go to, we're in covenant relationships with. I am going to say this. There is a difference between covenant and agreement. There have been churches that I've been in where it's been built on agreement. The trouble with that is, what happens when you disagree? God is a covenant God. We're a covenant people. So we should be in covenant relationships. We're not looking to be shaped by the agreement. We're looking to be shaped by the Spirit and the Word. In everything that we do, we're looking to be shaped by the Spirit and the Word. So, that's going to play with some of our perceptions. That's going to play with some of our boundary lines that we don't even know we've got. But when that challenges you, go back to this. Don't go on Google. Don't go, go back to the Word. How does that marry up to what the Word is? How does that marry up to how we are outworking that? This is the plumb line.
Richard's already mentioned about, this is all about God opportunities. God opportunities that he's drawing to us this year. And one of the opportunities that has come to us is that, you remember last year we had this opportunity to have a team from Eastgate. And they came along and they did a weekend for us healing. Remember, it was Katie, Fiona and Irene. Is that pronounced it? Yeah. Us English people, it's Irene, but she's French. So we had that opportunity. And that was an excellent weekend. But that came out of a relationship that was built up, you might say, over months and months. No, it was a built up over a relationship that was built over a cup of tea, a cup of coffee, when we were at a conference back in Eastgate, the previous year in October. And you say, well, how can that happen? Well, actually, there was something that happened in that conversation, that there was a bond that was built even in that straightforward conversation. And so through that conversation, Katie then offered to say, I'll bring a team to your church last year. And that's what they did. And they honoured that. And that was great. It was a fantastic first move for them. And we've been really blessed and encouraged by them, because they have, their leadership team have obviously heard about what happened and heard about, in actual fact, discussions before they even came, to such an extent that that connection that was made over a cup of tea or over a cup of coffee was actually spilling out into their leadership team. And their leadership team has decided this year that they're planning and actually preparing and running a leadership course. And this leadership course will be offered to a variety of churches through the country. And it will only be offered to 15 to 20 churches out of the whole of the country. And they said to us straight away, we would like your team, if you want to come along to that. So they offered it to us and they said, we'd love you to apply. Well, we felt really blessed and honoured that they'd invited us. You know, we're a little church up in Rugeley, you know, and they've got connections with all sorts of ministries. And yet they invited us because God has put a connection there. So we applied and we're on that course. We're going to start doing this course in 2 or 3 weeks' time. Now, as a team, that's just amazing that God's hand is on us through these other people. God's favour is on us as a church. It's going to be run by Pete Carter, who's on that side. I was going to say left, but it's your right and all that stuff. And then Paul Manwaring. Paul Manwaring used to be in ministry at Bethel, and he's now moved back to this country. And they're actually going to be running the team, plus others, obviously, through that course. And it's going to consist of a couple of conferences, so we're going to go down to Kent for a couple of times, but it's going to be a lot of web conferencing. I have no idea what that is, but we're going to be doing it. So that's quite exciting. So we're going to be doing this course. Now, what does that mean for us? Well, it means as a team that we're going to be challenged, we're going to be encouraged, we're actually going to have that opportunity to experience new God opportunities that they've actually experienced, and trying to draw that opportunities into us. And also, secondly, that we're actually be doing this with another 15 or 20 churches, so that we'll have that opportunity to share and learn from other people that are experiencing God in different ways. Now, that seems pretty exciting as a team, but I think it's even more exciting because I think, okay, we're going to go and do it, but whatever God does through that process, it's going to make a huge difference to us as a church. That's exciting, because God is taking us on a journey, And this is a part of the journey, not only for us, but for all of us. Because wherever each one of us goes and experiences God in a fresh way, like we have God stories, that changes us. And this is another opportunity for allowing God to change us and give us new opportunities. I think it's really exciting of what God's doing. And this is the part of the journey that God's taking us on this year.
So it's about us being blessed so that we can bless others. So whenever we're on things like this, it is about not just for us, because the benefit will be for the family. And within that context of leadership team, one other thing that we want to share at this present time is that we are preparing a wineskin for future growth. Father has spoken over us that we will grow. So to that end, Chris and Liz have started meeting with us as a leadership team. Now, who doesn't know Chris and Liz? Okay, no hands, so that's good. The purpose is that they are shadowing and we are mentoring them without them having any responsibilities. Now, we undernow whether we were going to mention that, but actually it gets a bit silly when it all gets a bit, the point of mentioning it is that they are shadowing us and we are mentoring them with no responsibilities. But they will be involved in everything we do as a leadership team, including the Living Fire program. So we wanted to let you know that at this time. Under this God opportunities to grow in 2017 are two courses. Now, those that remember from last September, there were actually three up there. But listen, when we're sharing this, what we're trying to get away from is programs and meetings. And we felt doing three was just filling us up with too much stuff. So we want you to grow this year. I want to grow this year. So this is one way that we're looking at doing this, through Keep Your Love On and through Freedom in Christ. Keep Your Love On is about building blocks for maintaining healthy relationships. And Freedom in Christ is a course designed to help every Christian become a fruitful disciple. There'll be more about the details in the newsletter. But these will start running from the beginning of February on a Wednesday and Thursday. Now, there are no other meetings, no fellowship groups while these are on. Okay? Fellowship groups will meet at other times, but those dates will become appropriate. So we'll just have a meal together. So this is the only commitment we're looking from you between February and May. And the reason we've done it on a Wednesday and Thursday is because obviously it helps out with babysitting with those that have young children. We'll hopefully have the sign-up sheets for this next week. When you preach, you should say us, not you, we. But I'm going to... My challenge is not to us, my challenge is to you. Why wouldn't you sign up? These are God-given opportunities to grow, both personally and for us corporately. And not only that, it's about developing a healthy relationships. All of it is so that we can advance the kingdom, so that you are a blessing in the communities that you live. So growth and relationships are key values in our wineskin. So my challenge to you is, why wouldn't you sign up? That I leave with you. Because in our culture, in our family, I want us all to grow. I want us all to move on. Now, there are other opportunities in 2017. On the 5th of February, yeah, all these dates are on a sheet out there. But I just want to stir your heart and actually for you to prioritize these dates. Because we've got to get serious, guys. We're on a mission. Church isn't part-time. We've given our lives to Jesus. And he expects that back. Not in a heavy way, because that's not how he works. But actually, it's by the grace of God we've all got up this morning. And there's a world out there that doesn't know why it's got up this morning. There's a world out there that doesn't want to get up this morning. And you're, unfortunately, if I tell you that, you're the answer. Because you carry Jesus. So, on the 5th of February, we've got some friends coming. Judah and Rachel Cole from Liverpool. They talk slightly funny, but don't hold that against them. It's just from where they're from, okay? But I just love the way these guys outwork outreach. And that's all they're going to come and do is share how they do it. And hopefully they're going to inspire you that you don't need to take a manual under your arms. You don't have to have every right word said. But they're going to come and just share and encourage. Then guys, on September, on Saturday, the 11th of February, We got a men's breakfast. We've ordered extra large plates. So that's going to be with Dave Connolly and Tony Smith. So that's a heavyweight breakfast in more ways than one. And the precursor to that is that on Sunday the 12th, we've mentioned we're having what we're calling Recognition Sunday. So that's when both the Connollys and the Smiths will be with us. And we are particularly praying for Dave and Wendy, but as a team as well, in recognising them coming in to the leadership team. And then on the 2nd of April, I say all these dates are on the sheet, on the 2nd of April, we have Tony Vossel coming to speak with us. Now, some of you will know Tony from Life Spring. Some of you will know Tony from when he spoke at the Wider Leaders. Tony is an excellent speaker. I mean, with these guys like Dave and Julie and Tony, these guys speak internationally. And yet they see what God is doing in us and they're giving their time because they want us to grow and fulfill everything God is doing in us. So my response to that is, well, at least I should try and be there to hear what they're going to say to me, because it'll only do me good for a start. But actually, when these guys speak, they're empowering us. They're helping to shape who we are. Tony and Kay Smith will be back later in the year, as will Dave and Julie, as we're looking to do a prophetic conference with them, a bit along the lines like we did the Encounter weekend. But we'll let you know dates for that. Now, another area that excites me for 2017 is churches together in Rugeley. And I think that's important. I think where there is unity with the churches, there the blessing dwells. So we've been a bit in limbo, but now David Evans has been appointed at St. Augustine's and Jacob Donko, I'm not sure how you pronounce his surname, Donko? Oh, that's good. Has been appointed at St. Paul's. So along with Will from Victory and George from St. Michael's, there's a real freshness and drive about us coming together. Because, you know, we're not in numbers, we're not about church. We want to see Jesus glorified in this town and region. And so we are looking at doing a Good Friday celebration march. Not a dirge, okay? A celebration march. So bear that in mind. Also, we'd like to do on Saturday the 24th of June something called a Cinnamon Civic Prayer. Something Dave Webb put me onto that is connected with Trussell Trust, or from out of that. And basically, it's a breakfast gathering where leaders from business, education, health, media, politics, police, and community groups come together to build relationship and pray for the town and have a breakfast. And I just think that's so good. That is so important. That A, it brings us to churches together, but it brings key people in our community. Now, it's all laid out for us, but what we do need is a team. So if you'd like to be involved with that, then please can you see me, because it is dependent on us forming a team within the churches together. We're looking at doing a harvest event together. And this year, we will be doing Remembrance Sunday together as churches together as part of that. And I'm just excited because I think that is another way that God is going to shape us and mold us, but also affect the town that we live in. Now, another great opportunity to grow in 2017 is this. And I've talked about this this morning a bit with some people. You know, the atmosphere and culture we want to develop is one of, we celebrate who we are and what we have. What are the English very good at? Come on, you can be honest. We're very good at moaning. We're very good at building people up and knocking people down. We're very good at seeing what isn't happening, what isn't going on, what I don't have. But that's not kingdom culture. That's not the culture that we should be living in or expressing. So we want to be in a culture that we celebrate what we do have and who we are. But what we don't want to be is partnering with what we don't have or what we don't see happening. See, I don't need people to come and tell me, sorry, I think I've broken your stand. I'm going to get people coming telling me after I've broken their stand. No, I don't need people to come and tell me what's wrong or what we don't have. I can tell you that. But do you know how much energy that drains us out of us? How lowering of the eyes it gets. That's not what we're about. We're not going to deny what isn't happening. I'm just not going to partner with it. I want to partner with what God has done. That was so great to hear testimonies of what God has done, is doing, is outworking. That is what we need to be building ourselves up with. It's learning not to speak or agree with the negative. And that's hard. That is hard. But actually, that's what we're called to do. See, circumstances and situations will come this year. I can guarantee that. I don't need a word of knowledge to tell us that. That's going to come. We've got a big year ahead of us. There will be challenges, both corporate and personally. The choice will be, and which we'll each will face, is who will I choose to partner when that comes along? See, if I allow myself to partner with the circumstance, the situation, or the challenge, then I'm going to lose sight of the Father, because it's going to drain all my energy. I'm going to look at that and I'm going to just go downwards. That's what happens, doesn't it? I've been there last year. I've been there. We all have circumstances. Yet if I choose to focus on Father in my circumstance, in my situation or my challenge, I will get a godly perspective. Yeah, it may not take that circumstance away, but it will change how I see and perceive that circumstance. One of the verses Dave was sharing this week was, it was, there, you know, 2 Kings. It's that whole story of Elijah with his servant. You know, the servant was seeing this massive army that was surrounding them. So what did Elijah say? Run for it. No, he didn't. Elijah prayed, open his eyes, that's the servant's, Lord, so that he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around him. We're not to deny the circumstance. You can't deny the circumstance you will face in this coming year. But it is all about seeing the circumstances from his perspective. It is journeying with Father in a purposeful way, pursuing him, not the circumstance. So now I've broken this stand, I think I'm going to hand back to Dave.
Well, the stand's getting lower, so I just thought I'd... Okay. Now, if you were here, I can't remember which Sunday we did it, but we talked about, before Christmas, about the amazing steps that we have taken with this building. So if you weren't here, I'm just going to fill that story out again. And basically remember that what happened was we've negotiated with Staffordshire County Council to run this building for 15 years at basically no rent. Well, actually, that's a lie. It's £1 a year and we'll take a collection later. No. So it's basically for no rent. But they were very, very, very clear in that whole process right at the beginning, because we, Richard and Eric and Andy, asked at that point, you know, well, if we did decide to go ahead and possibly purchase it, what would that be? And they said, you've got to be looking at 400,000, because they, in their mind, said it had to have some commercial sort of value. That was the building. It's nothing to do with the land around it, just the building. Okay? So in September, myself and Bill and Richard met with Staffordshire County Council, and we'd come up with a proposal. And the proposal was to say, we would like to buy this building off you, because we want to commit ourselves to Rugeley as a church and to actually outwork this building and the use of it for this community for the foreseeable future. And in reality, you can't do that because you haven't got the money and you can't run it. We can't afford your 400,000. So we put in quite a low bid and then all the extras that we could offer in all sorts of different ways. Now, basically, when that happened, okay, this is the God story. Okay, the God story is I get a letter, and I get a letter sort of halfway through November, and the letter basically says, can I remind you that when you first took over this building, we told you it was worth 400,000. And, next paragraph, we've given you this building for £1 a year. Didn't quite phrase it like this. For heaven's sake, we've done really well for you. Actually, I'm paraphrasing there just a little bit. And then the next paragraph, so I'm reading thing, this is not good. And they're going, oh, by the way, you can have it but below half the price that we talked about. So I'm going, I'll just reread that letter because I don't think I've quite got the gist of this, because the gist is saying you can't because and this, but we will. And that's what the letter says. And then, this is the interesting bit, is, oh, and you can have all the land around it. And then you can have all the land around it. That's gobsmacking. That's unbelievable. And I think it's a quick, wah! Now, there will be hiccups. We've already hit one hiccup, which we're going to face tomorrow. But there are, will be hiccups all the time. But the reality is God is an amazing God, and he's doing things way beyond our imagination. Our imagination, to be fair, when we were at Fernwood, wasn't this. And we're here, because God can imagine much bigger than we can imagine. So tomorrow, Richard Smith, Dave Webb and myself are meeting with the architect. I've asked Mark to come back, and the environment agency and the construction company, and we're going to try and negotiate and sort out in our mind what is the land that we actually want round here. Because we don't want too much land that we can't do anything with and then we have to maintain it. We want the right enough land to, you know, future plans for this building and future plans to build something on the side that is actually going to help us to do the job that we've got here. Not only for us as church, but for us as church through this community centre and for the community. So really need you guys to pray for us tomorrow. We need wisdom to get this right. Because obviously we're trying to put a line when they've built something that they haven't built yet. But we want to do that now, okay? And we want to get it right. So we need to pray for wisdom about all the things that we won't have thought about, but God will have thought about. And so we need to pray for tomorrow and that process. I think this is another step, and it's a big step, isn't it? It's an amazing wow step. I rang the architect, who isn't a Christian, but he understands where we're coming from, and I explained to him about the difference in the price, and he goes, wow! And I'm going, now, Mark, we would actually say that's a miracle. And he's going, I'm not sure I can go that far yet. And I said, yes, but you know it's wow, doesn't it? And this is a guy who doesn't believe, so he's already wowed. Okay. So please pray. A part of this, part of the building that when we moved in here, a lot of people felt that we should set up a prayer room. And we've never done it. And there's just this sense that we actually should build on that and work through it to get a prayer room. Now, in our heart of hearts, we'd like to have a nice-sized room that we can fit quite a number of people in, and that it would be an opportunity for people just to come in and pray. So it's not another meeting room, and it's not a room for meetings. It's a room for people to come in and pray. Now, at the moment, we haven't got a room like that. So we're going, well, do we give up or do we just press through? So we're actually, we're going to use, and if you want me to show you afterwards, as you're going out from the sports hall and you head towards the emergency exit, as you get to the emergency exit, on your right behind you, there's a very small office. Small being the operative word there, okay? But we want to say, well, actually, we're going to devote that, and instead of using it for anything else, we're going to take all the furniture out. There's a huge desk and a couple of cupboards in there, and actually turn that over to be a prayer room. And we think that's important in two or three different ways. One is a lot of people felt that that was important when we moved in, and we need to stand on that and do it. Albeit a small room, it's still important. And the idea being is that we can then have people coming at any time while the building's open and just come in and pray. Now, we know the difference that prayer makes. And so anybody that's coming in to do that will make a difference. And so it's just a place that will be opportunities for God to do his stuff because we're allowing people to come and pray. So that's quite exciting. Not quite the huge room that we would have liked, but hey, let's start with the small and pursue it, because just saying we can't do it doesn't seem a good reason. And I just want to actually just end with one of my readings. You might have heard me mention it only a few hundred times, so I'm just going to go for 101, and that's Philippians 4:6, okay? This seems to be the mantra for this room. Don't worry about anything, instead, pray about everything. That seems a good reason to have a prayer room. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him. I'm so grateful for what God's done. We wouldn't be here if God hadn't put the steps together. We wouldn't be here if God hasn't put the steps together. The picture I had with that reading from Kings of that army is the picture I had was, they're out there. They're camped. God's army's out there. You think that fencing round there is for them to do some building? No, it's actually to keep the God's army contained, because they're ready to go. That's the picture I had. That's an amazing picture. And the rest of the reading, then once you pray about everything and thank God for it, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your heart and mind as you live in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Can you move it on, Matt? It's driving me mad, this thing is. Thank you. Okay, I'm going to be really quick because I do want us to finish in song. But one last aspect of an opportunity to grow this year is in giving to God. And my challenge to us all is, will we give Father the first fruits? And you think I'm going to start money now. But actually, it's everything. It's time, it's money, it's everything. Will we give him the first fruits? And really, there should only be one answer, and that's yes. We are born again Christians. Our life is different. And the reason it's different is because Jesus now lives in us. It's all his anyway. The psalmist says, the psalmist says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all who live in it. So my challenge to us is, imagine, what does Father say when we have an attitude of, it's mine, it's me, it's about me, it's my time, it's what I want to do, it's our nature. And we have to keep giving that over to Father. Because me, my, I, they're all clearly words that reveal that we're not saying it's all his. See, our giving, whether it's time or money, is an act of faith that releases the blessing of heaven. So can I just encourage you, in your time, with your finances, with every aspect of your life, make sure that he has first fruits. It says in Luke 6:38, give and it will be given to you. See, there's a blessing in even in that. Whatever we give of him, you'll be blessed in it. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Our prayer for 2017 is that you would be blessed and be a blessing. Andy.
Thank you. Can I invite the worship team to come and join me at the front? During our meeting recently as elders this week, Richard and Dave brought a little story from their daily devotional book, which described a lady who decided that she was going to keep what she described as a thanks living jar, and I bought one here today. And what she did is that every day she wrote down things that she was thankful for God for. And it says in the story that, you know, sometimes, some days, you know, there were lots of things to write down, lots of great things to do. And obviously some days were hard, and some days there was just one or two to write down. But when it came to the end of the year, she was able to tip out this big jar and read through all of the goodness that God had, and all the ways that God has blessed her. So we'd like to do something similar here at Arusha Community Church, because with the best will in the world, it's difficult to remember all of the wonderful testimonies and God stories that we have. So I think we're not going to do it today. We'll do it another time when we've got a bit more time to work through it. But yeah, you may well see this jar pop up in the next few weeks, and we can write some things on it. But just while we just sing this, we're just going to sing one song to finish. Getting the stare, yes. Yeah, I think one song to finish. If you can just think about, you know, what can you be thankful for this today? And just praise God for that. And then we're going to have one more thing to finish. We've got Mick and Pam want to give a word before we go. They use you again just now. Right. First of all, what I want to do is just acknowledge that we are over the time that we would normally like to be. And say that's not an apology, but that is acknowledgement that is what's happening. But we know this is important. You know, this is God. This is God's stuff that we're doing. So that is actually, you know, important that we can carry on, because there are a couple of extra things we want to do. And the first of one is I want to give an opportunity for Mick and Pam to come forward and to share some news that they have for us. Then we want to pray with them. We want to pray for them and bless them. And then after that, we're going to ask the worship team to do us another song. And so that'll give us an opportunity as a family to pray for Mick and Pam. Also, during that time, there is an opportunity for you to come forward if you would like prayer for healing. Again, maybe you've listened to some of the testimonies we've had and you're saying, well, you know, what about me? Well, that's your chance to come forward and say, we will pray with you as a team. And then also, you know, tea and coffee will be served during that time. So, you know, once we're in that second time of worship, then you can go for tea and coffee, which is behind the curtain. Okay.